Yesterday, a Freedom of Information request by the investigative website The Detail revealed that senior DUP figures were putting pressure on the Electoral Commission so that to not publish the party's election returns before the Assembly election. But initially, there was some public confusion in the DUP about the exact sum and where the money came from. Let's remind ourselves what Arlene Foster said when she was talking to the BBC's Mark Cruthers on the 16th of February. She said she didn't know how much was spent.
You've no idea how much you spent.
This was last June, Mark, and you're asking me to go back over Electoral Commission returns from last June. I'm in the middle of an election now.
You've absolutely no idea how much you spent.
I haven't.
OK, well, you must know where the money came from then. Who gave you the money?
Yes, I do, and that has been communicated to the Electoral Commission.
And why is it still a secret? Why don't people living in Northern
it's
Ireland...
It's not a secret.
Who is it then?
It's not a secret. We have done what we should have done in terms of the rules. As you know, Mark, there are rules particular to Northern Ireland.
Where to say where that money... You won't pay, how much it was and you won't say where it came from?
No, because under the rules, as they currently stand, we have accounted for that in the proper fashion. And it will be made public
across the water, but it isn't going to be made public here in Northern Ireland.
It will be accounted for under the rules as they currently stand.
Yes, but it won't be made public.
We as taxpayers in
Northern Ireland won't know where that money came from.
And we have indicated to the Secretary of State that we want to see those rules changed so that we're exactly
the same as the rest of the United Kingdom.
Well, what I've just said, we want to be open and transparent, but we received that money under the rules as they are currently constituted.
Yeah.
We want to be open and transparent, said Arlene Foster, the DUP leader. But the very same day that Arlene Foster was saying this, a senior official in her party was putting pressure on the Electoral Commission to not release the details of the party's referendum spending before the Assembly election. Now, the information was released in an FOI, Freedom of Information request, to the details Niall McCracken, and they show that senior party figures within the DUP, including MPs Sir Geoffrey Donaldson and Nigel Dodds, were pressuring the Commission not to release the information before the vote. The Commission had told the party they planned to publish the amounts of money spent by the DUP 6 days before the election. But the DUP's chief of staff at Westminster wrote to the body on the 16th of February. Now remember, that's the same day that Arlene Foster was speaking to The View. You've just heard it. In an email, the DUP's chief of staff said, "We would be grateful if you could please confirm that the Electoral Commission, in accordance with both best practice and past precedent, will obviously not be publishing the returns during the Northern Ireland Assembly election campaign." The following day, the Commission responded to the party saying that they had a statutory duty to publish as soon as practical, and in not doing, they wouldn't be complying with their duty. But the DUP didn't leave it there. 3 days later, a letter from Sir Geoffrey Donaldson and Nigel Dodds asked them to reconsider, claiming that government advice to ministers on the election period meant that they couldn't publish the information. The DUP had cited Cabinet Office guidance, which they said recommended consideration should be given to the urgency and importance of releasing information that could have a direct bearing on matters relevant to the Northern Ireland elections. They argued that the guidance states that further advice should be sought from the Cabinet Office in cases of doubt. The DUP's Geoffrey Donaldson defended that position on Talkback yesterday. Let's have a listen.
Now, there is a rule that applies to all government departments and bodies. It's called PIRDA, which means that during an election campaign, you normally don't make announcements that are of a political nature. And therefore, we queried why the Electoral Commission were doing something that was unprecedented. They have never before published this type of information in the middle of an election campaign. So we queried why they were doing it in the middle of an assembly election campaign in Northern Ireland, and they came back and said that they didn't believe that what they were doing would contravene the rules, and they went ahead with publication.
But the PIRDA argument that Sir Geoffrey was using yesterday, according to the Cabinet Office, that's not right. PIRDA does not apply. The Cabinet Office said the Electoral Commission are independent, not related to any government ministry, so those PIRDA rules do not apply. The Cabinet Office wrote that advice about what government ministers can and cannot do during an election. They have told the Nolan Show that the Electoral Commission are not subject to this guidance. Let's speak to Naomi Long, the Alliance leader. Good morning to you, Naomi.
Good morning, Stephen.
What's your reaction to this?
Well, I think it's concerning at a number of levels. I think, first of all, we were being told that the DUP were actually in contact with the Electoral Commission in order to get permission to release the name of the donor. Now, we know that not to be the case. The Electoral Commission actually came out, and that is quite unprecedented, to say that they had not been contacted about that issue and that there was no barrier to publication. We already knew that, Stephen, because we already publish our donors. The Electoral Commission legally can't publish them, but we can choose to do that. So we can do that voluntarily, as the Green Party and Alliance have been doing now for some years. So that, to me, is actually more serious than just wanting to withhold the information. I think there's a serious issue here about double speak, where on one hand people are saying we want to be open and transparent, we're trying to release this information, when in fact behind the scenes they're doing precisely the opposite. And I think that that is a really significant discovery that has been made in terms of what the DUP were doing around this donation. But it also raises questions as to why they were so keen to not have this information in the public
domain. Before we get to that, the for any political party, and I guess the function of investigative journalism and, you know, the detailed website have brought quite a lot of information to the public domain here. The function of investigative journalism on behalf of the public is to make sure that what politicians and political parties are saying, that there is no double meaning, that we know exactly what a political party stands for, and if they say something, are they doing it? So do you think that has happened on this occasion? You know,
I think it's clearly been exposed that what was being said to the public is not what was happening in private. I mean, I think that's absolutely clear and without a doubt.
So what does that mean?
Well, it's also not the first time, Stephen. Let's remind ourselves that I think it was back as long ago as about 2011, Peter Robinson said that they intended to support openness and transparency and that they wanted to publish their donors. That hasn't happened. It was in the DUP's manifesto in 2016 that they were going to publish their donors, and that still hasn't happened. So there is a history here of people saying before elections that they want to be open and transparent, but then trying to find excuses after elections as to why they wouldn't be. I mean, to be clear, at the time when this was being discussed, we were actually asked about the issue as to whether or not the Electoral Commission could prevent this publishing. And we were very clear that there was no need to have discussions either with the Electoral Commission or with the donor at this stage to publish, because, first of all, the Electoral Commission don't have any barriers to parties being able to publish their donor information, so they were irrelevant in the discussion. And the second issue is that we were all told, after an amendment which I put through Parliament in the Northern Ireland Miscellaneous Provisions Act, that we should inform all of our donors from January 2014 that their names would eventually be published. So anyone who gives money to any party in Northern Ireland should be advised, okay, if it reaches the publication threshold, that one day it will be public.
Now, you have new information for us this morning, because this has been raised in the talks.
Well, we, as you know, Stephen, have been pushing for a long time to see the same publication rules apply in Northern Ireland as apply in the rest of the UK. We have raised that with James Brokenshire. We have done that in writing. He went out and consulted with party leaders about the issue, and it's one of the issues around governance in the Assembly that is being debated. One of my concerns is that there is a push coming now to try to delay that publication so that only donations received after August this year, 2017, would be published. Now, the amendment that I've just referred to in Westminster permits donations from January 2014 to be published.
Who's pushing
that? It would be retrospective. Well, there are a number of parties who are pushing that. I think the Ulster Unionists have said from the new financial year. And again, I think there are others who are pushing it in that direction. And it seems to be only Alliance, really, that's pushing that deadline back to the original.
Well, now, hold on a minute, because you're inferring a lot about many other political parties there. So who specifically is pushing for that information not to be revealed?
Well, you see, Stephen, we don't see the papers and where they come from. We simply get the papers. So we can't say, but there's no one else pushing it at those discussions that we've been having about when that's going to happen. We want it to happen from January 2014. And the reason this is so important...
And what happened from January 2014?
Well, the amendment that I put through in Westminster means that from January 2014... all parties were notified by the Electoral Commission that they should advise their donors from that point onwards that their details would eventually be published when the Secretary of State removed the exemption in Northern Ireland. So everyone was informed that that would be the case. It's permissive, so it is possible for the Secretary of State to choose a different date, but obviously we want the earliest date possible, and that's what we've written to him to say.
So you want, so what, not, this, what this story this morning is not about, just for me to sum this up and keep this clear, so you want political donations from January 2014 revealed.
Yes.
And you're suggesting that as part of the talks at the minute, within these talks, that some political parties are trying to say, no, we don't want that information revealed.
Yes, they are saying that they don't want that process to start until August of this year. Now, that's significant. And let me give you the reason why it's significant. You remember in 2014, there were local council elections. We have since had two assembly elections. We have had the election for the referendum for the European Union, the Brexit referendum, and all of those things have gone on during that period. So if you think about it, Stephen, the money that would have been coming into parties during that period, as people are gearing up towards elections outside, if you like, the election period, which already is accounted for. But obviously parties would know that those elections were on the cards. It was also the Westminster election in 2015, so quite a lot of elections in that period. But money that would have happened outside the actually election period that you account for in your electoral returns that would have been coming into parties with the knowledge that there were elections coming, then would not be open to the public for those last number of elections. Now, we don't believe that that's acceptable. That's why we publish voluntarily that information, because I'm not saying, to be very clear about this, Stephen, I'm not saying that any parties are breaking the law. I'm not saying that any parties are doing anything wrong. But what I am saying is the public have a right to look at that information and to make a judgment for themselves whether parties, first of all, are breaking the law, and secondly, and most importantly, because the Electoral Commission will know if they've breached the rules, but more importantly, whether they feel they're being influenced by the people who make large donations.
Let's say we're saying, let's say we're saying at home already about this. Brandon Lambeg. Morning, Brian.
Morning, Stephen. How are you?
Go ahead.
I am no fan of the DUP whatsoever, but I think that really it's a non-issue because no party is going to want that sort of information released before an election. And if they abide by the Electoral Commission rules...
So why didn't they tell you all of that before the election?
Oh, would Sinn Féin do it? Would UUP do it? Would Alliance do it?
Yes.
It's easy to say in hindsight. But whether or not you're up against...
In hindsight, we actually publish. We have published all of our donor information from around 2010, 2011. We publish what we send to the Electoral Commission every quarter. It's on our website. You can go and look and see where our large donors are. So it's not about talking about it in hindsight. It's about what we do in practice.
Okay, that's fair enough, Naomi. And to be honest with you, I voted Alliance. But that's not the point. The point is we have two big parties now in Northern Ireland. We are now past general politics once again. We are solely into sectarian politics in Northern Ireland. So really, things like that will make a difference to whoever is the biggest party within the Northern Ireland Assembly. And of course, Sinn Féin or the DUP are going to try and persuade information not to come out before the election because it is unfair. If you bring it...
Well, now, we don't have... Hold on a second. Sinn Féin are not on the programme this morning
to defend themselves.
We have no evidence that they're trying to suppress anything before an election,
Brian. Once again, Stephen, you haven't listened to the actual sentences I said. You picked out a few words. I did not say that Sinn Féin did. I said that there's a possibility that should large parties get to have that information about to come out, of course they're going to want to say wait the actual election.
Well, you don't know that. You shouldn't presume.
That will muddy the waters. We've already seen what...
Why would it?
We've already seen with Brexit how nonsense coming out in the press muddies the waters. We've already seen in the American elections how nonsense coming out in the press will muddy the waters.
But look, our job, Brian, right?
Our job is to get
as much information to people like you and the wider listening public. Now, all we are saying this morning, this is because of the Detail website's investigative team. What we are saying this morning is that while Arlene Foster was talking about being open and transparent around this issue, there was another member, senior people within the DUP, writing to the Electoral Commission, asking them, pressuring them, not to release the details of the party's referendum spending before the Assembly election.
And that's called politics. That's what happens in politics.
Now, the reality is that there's no reason why that information being published would do any damage to any political party, provided that that information itself doesn't cast any questions over the party. So there's no reason. I mean, if donations are not affecting the party's decisions, if donations are not affecting the party's choices, if they're in line with the guidance that we're meant to follow, there is no reason why that information being public would do any party any damage at all. I actually see it in a different way. I see the publication of that information as a positive, because when we go to the public, we can show them our returns in terms of donations at elections. They know how much money we're able to spend, but they also know how much money we get from larger donors throughout the year, and they therefore have a sense of, if you like, who is pulling the strings with the party, and they can make their own judgment for that. And I think that is an advantage in an election.
Here's some of what, not a disadvantage. We asked the DUP to come on this morning. They're not going to do so. Here's some of what they said in their statement. They said that they voluntarily published the details of the donor, a move, they say, not repeated by any other major parties here. They say they did not query the principle of publishing the spending returns, just the timing. They say the Commission briefed to journalists that its own worst-case internal scenario was that spending returns would be cleared by last Christmas at the very latest. The DUP has provided a greater level of transparency than any other major political party. There is once again, says the DUP, an attack on the DUP, while donations to other parties are continually ignored. William in Belfast. Morning, William.
Morning, Stephen. Stephen, there's an intolerance towards the DUP, and quite rightly. I myself are scundered with them over NAMA and RHI. But there's a tolerance towards Sinn Féin that shouldn't be there by all and sundry. Nobody seems to care about the two people who were murdered 2 years ago. I never hear anything about Fuel Landering or our friend in South Armagh, the Northern Bank. Imagine if Nigel Dodds had supported a war where the party he was connected to killed 2,000 people. He would never ever get a vote. So much tolerance to Sinn Féin is unbelievable, and I have no time for
this. So much tolerance? What do you mean, so much tolerance to Sinn Féin?
Well, what about these two murders 2 years ago? Was anybody concerned about them?
Well, Sinn Féin didn't murder anyone. Sinn Féin are a political party with a mandate.
You have to say, remember the
I don't have to say anything.
Remember the butterfly that came from a caterpillar.
We're coming back to today's story.
You don't want to know my part of the story.
Well, I'm trying to focus it on what we're talking about today.
Everybody knows.
Sinn Féin sent a statement, all reportable donations
Stephen,
received.
Listen to me a minute.
Hold on. Sinn Féin say all reportable donations received by Sinn Féin are returned to the Electoral Commission in line with current guidelines. The only donation we receive over the current £7,500 threshold are from MLAs and other paid staff donating a portion of their salaries back into the party. In terms of party donations, Sinn Féin received no corporate donations. The SDLP say they haven't taken a foreign donation over the current threshold since the cap was introduced. In line with the current law, we don't publish the names of donors, but Colm Eastwood has written to the Secretary of State outlining our view that the historic circumstances which prevent the disclosure of donations to Northern Ireland have now changed. Malik O'Doherty, good morning to you.
Morning, Stephen.
So to come back to the story we're trying to talk about this morning, so the Detail website finds out through their investigations that the DUP were pressuring the Electoral Commission not to release details of spending before the Assembly election.
And you and I were watching Arlene on the UTV debate and in the interview with Mark Carruthers in The View, reassuring us that every effort was being made to get that information out to the public. So this creates confusion in the minds of the ordinary voter about the integrity of the DUP and its approach to this problem. It also raises questions about what is really going on. I mean, Naomi is interesting, and then she points to other political parties without being specific about them who have the same wariness about disclosing. Why do these donations need to be secret at all? We come out of a background of
violence. Well, there have been security concerns, haven't there, for many years?
There were security concerns, but, I mean, surely at some stage you move beyond that. I mean, certainly if somebody, if a local business person was known to be given money to a political party 20 years ago, then you know that person would have been exposed as associated with the party and even associated with a party that was connected to paramilitary organizations. That is all past. Surely we're beyond that. Surely we're at the stage now where all of this stuff can be made perfectly clear and there needs to be no secrecy at all. The other thing is about this guy, Richard Cook, the guy in Scotland with his organisation, the Constitutional Research Council, that gave this money to the DUP. Why did they do it? He was doing that to get round, to use the Northern Ireland secrecy provision to enable him to spend money on a Brexit campaign without it being traced back to him. That's what he was at. He was, it's
well,
not
you
to,
don't know that because
well,
he
well,
might
that's
have.
That's my surmise.
Yes,
that's
and,
my surmise,
and he might have, he might have thought it would always be published in the end, and we don't know.
Well,
what
he
was
wasn't
in his
going
head.
To be published before June the 23rd.
Here's what we do know, Malachy. We do know that while the public were being given the impression that the DUP were attempting to do all that they could to publish those names, the DUP were not telling the public that what they were actually also doing was putting pressure on the Electoral Commission not to publish it before the election.
Yeah.
And this again is about the public getting a straight message to a straight issue.
And we saw Arlene wriggling on a pin, giving us the most profound and open-hearted assurances that she was doing her best to get this information to us, that the only reason she didn't have the figure in her head was because she's busy with an election and, of course, has got all kind of clutter in her brain. But if she could only get that figure out of her mind, she would give it to us right now. But this very day, she said, Geoffrey Donaldson is working away to get us permission to publish these details and we will get them to you as soon as we can. That is what she said. The paraphrase is what she said, but that is what she said. And to disclose now that actually even Geoffrey Donaldson and Nigel Dodds were working behind the scenes writing to the Electoral Commission trying to prevent that very thing happening. Well, what does that say?
Prevent it happening before an election.
Yes.
Well, before an election, but
and
they
you,
have
you,
said,
hear,
I mean,
you heard Sir Geoffrey's argument about Purdah and not
but,
unduly influencing.
But why didn't make that argument about Purdah at the time?
Yes, but also, I mean, let's be clear. I mean, that argument about Purdah applies to ministerial decisions. I didn't hear the DUP make that argument when, for example, Peter Weir, as Education Minister, granted funding to a school in his 2B constituency of Strangford during the Purdah period. So, there were announcements being made by ministers, but it was judged that those announcements were not of significant enough importance that they would influence the outcome of an election. So, I mean, there were ministers in Northern Ireland who were making decisions during the Purdah period, and those announcements were being made, albeit that they were not being made in the way they would have been outside of Purdah, but they were still being taken and could be deemed to be influential, and nobody mentioned Purdah then, and Purdah does not apply to the Electoral Commission, who have a duty to publish the amounts but withhold the names in Northern Ireland, and I think the days for withholding the names are over.
Let's bring more information to you, because the Freedom of Information request also revealed an internal email from the Commission. This is the Electoral Commission's head, Anne Watt. Have a listen.
The wider context of this is the backdrop to the election in Northern Ireland and the focus of much of the other NA party's campaigns on claims about the DUP lacking transparency in its role in the RHI scheme.
This has been voiced up, by the way, by one of our producers. The Commission then told the DUP that they
have not in the past regarded delaying publication in the lead up to elections as justified or excusable. We consider our objective of transparency for voters of political finance is consistent with the holding of fair elections.
This is what the DUP's Edwin Poots said at a BBC Talkback election debate about revealing the donor just 2 days before the spending was published by the Commission.
We're very proud of the role that we played as the only major party in Northern Ireland that wanted to come out of the European Union, and that we were successful in that campaign.
Who gave you the 250 grand?
That will be revealed, I hope, tomorrow.
Oh. Ooh. Tomorrow.
Hopefully this week. We're working on revealing both the size of the donation and indeed the donor. So Geoffrey Donaldson's working on that right now.
So the DP eventually did announce that the money came from a Scottish pro-union group. That's the information the party didn't have to release, and they did. They say they're the only one of the big four parties to release the names of major donors. We've asked those parties but have received, we got some response there today. Okay, Naomi, thank you. Malachy, thank you.